The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. This is a Monday night recap, and what a show do we have for you. It's going to be incredible and thrilling for like 45 minutes. And then over the final 5 minutes, I'm going to poop my pants and throw an interception. I'm Will Brinson. I'm the host of the only Philip Rivers fan. That was a Philip Rivers joke. 24-17, Kansas City Chiefs beat the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday night in Mexico. It was not a fiesta, John Breach, for Philip Rivers, was it?
It was not. It was more of a siesta for Chargers fans because they're going to cry themselves to sleep after this game. But you know what? They probably cried themselves to sleep every single week that the Chargers play because no team is better at losing in the final minute than the Chargers. I think, Sean, you tweeted out that thing back in September that said, file this tweet away and come and find it. Philip Rivers always has the ball with under a minute left, trailing by a touchdown, and then there's always a great picture of him looking at the sky in disappointment after they lose, and we got our vintage Rivers disappointment. And here's the thing. It was the same thing as last week where total befuddlement with all the play calling the Chargers pulled off in the final minutes. They just wing it deep, and yes, it happened to work. The prayers got answered when Rivers completed a miracle 50-yard pass to Mike Williams with, what, like 45 seconds left in the game. But you know what? It probably been better off if he didn't complete that pass because then all we saw was him break everyone's heart with that interception in the end zone with 18 seconds left, which, by the way, was his fourth interception. He now has 7 interceptions in his last 2 games, which is the most ever for Philip Rivers in a 2-game span. He now has 61 losses by 7 points or less, which is the most of any quarterback in NFL history. And he now has 0 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions in the final 2 minutes of regulation in any game this season that was one possession or less, which is basically every Chargers game. So he has been a disaster in crunch time this year. That is my main takeaway of this game.
Well, if you guys are wondering why I introduced you in awkward ways at the beginning, it's because I'm scared of that happening, where somebody grabs the wheel and just veers it into a Philip Rivers career. Sean Wagner, McGuff, Ryan Wilson, also on the call here. Look, I'm going to be honest, Breach isn't wrong. It feels like every week it's the same thing.
Did the Oakland game end with an interception too?
Lab circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over again.
Ryan just can't not really sound. I was drinking. Is Oakland in with a pick? It's screaming. I'm trying to play a great sound. Ryan's over there with his tea screaming about an Oakland pick. I don't know, Ryan. Always, who the hell knows? It always, yes, of course it ends with an interception. Every Philip Rivers games ends with an interception. I tweeted 19 times before that pick saying this is what's going to happen. They're going to find a way to get back in this game, to get down by 7, march down the field, have a great look at a touchdown to tie it. And then Philip Rivers is going to throw a back-breaking, unbelievable pick to some no-name loser on the Chiefs defense. Daniel Sorensen said, I'm sorry, I don't mean that to you or your family, but it's, you can't throw a pick there on the wheel route to Austin Eckler in the right side of the end zone on second down. It's just horrible.
Well, I asked about last week. By the way, I've never been so disrespected as to play a random clip. What was that clip that you played?
It's True Detective?
True Detective.
I couldn't even make it out. I was making a...
You're yelling about the Raiders!
Making an awesome point. What I was going to say before you rudely interrupted me with Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, I'm assuming that was season one, knowing you, and Philip Rivers should be season two of True Detective. He's the season two of True Detective NFL quarterback. But he did the exact same thing against the Steelers. They lost by 1 score, and he threw an interception at the end of that game where they were getting blown out for 3 quarters by Duck Hodges. So this 1 score thing is sort of a fallacy. He's been dog doo-doo. I mean, obviously he's lost by one score, but he's played so poorly in the first 50 minutes of the game that, you know, he comes back and he throws three touchdowns and eight interceptions.
Now, look, let's settle down in the first 50 minutes of the game. The Chargers dominated.
He threw two terrible interceptions in the first half. Should have had a third, and Ty Matthew threw it on the ground early in the third quarter.
That's not the first half. I mean, what are you talking about?
He had two picks in the first half.
You just mentioned the third quarter. It's
early in the third quarter.
Okay, look, they dominated the Chiefs. They should have been up 28-10.
Why weren't they?
Because their coaching sucks. Their red zone play calling blows. Phillip Rivers couldn't execute near the goal line. Mike Badgley missed one field goal and banged home the other three. It's because they're a crap show from start to finish.
So at halftime, the Chargers had 14 first downs to the Chiefs 5. They had run 43 plays compared to the Chiefs 23 plays. They had 312 yards compared to the Chiefs 109 yards. They were averaging 7.3 yards per play to the Chiefs 4.7 yards per play. And they entered halftime losing.
Losing! They were losing!
And add on to that, Phillip Rivers had thrown for 237 yards in the first half, was basically on pace to cross 475, and Patrick Mahomes had thrown for 63 yards in the first half.
This was just emblematic of their entire season, because we've talked about how they've had so many chances to get into this division race over and over again. And this was the game that put it all like on display about why they haven't been able to do it. They got a half of Mahomes probably playing his worst half, I would say, since he became the Chiefs starter.
Not to interrupt you here, this is Mahomes' worst game as a starter.
Right. And so they get that. And they have to settle for field goals the entire time. And the entire time they're lining up for field goals, you just know, even if they make all of them, which they didn't, you know it's going to backfire. You don't beat Patrick Mahomes, usually, by kicking field goals. And then Rivers can't stop turning the ball over. His turnovers are just funny. Like, they are, like, comical. Like, that fumble interception he has is just, like if that happens to Jameis Winston or Josh Allen, like, it's becoming, like, a meme. But because it's Rivers, he has his own separate meme.
The incomplete pass that looked like a fumble at the end of the game. I mean, that was the most Phillip Rivers play ever.
And it was right after the Mike Williams. It was the play after the Mike Williams bomb, and I was like, that would have been the perfect end of the game if he just throws it 2 feet into the ground. And even on that game-winning drive, he has Austin Eckler open on third down, and he throws it into Chris Jones's helmet when Chris Jones is 2 feet away from him.
I wonder if he were playing in a big market, like if he were in Chicago, for example, and this was sort of the downturn of his career, because it's happened very, very quickly. I mean, he's been good and really good for most of his career, except for the last 2.5 months. I wonder if he'd be getting a lot more heat and there'd be a lot more pressure to do something about it, because no one cares in Carson, California, playing in the soccer stadium, I feel like.
I think, look, he wasn't good. I'm not trying to say he was good. I think you're sort of overplaying the island, like the two island games on Thursday and then on Monday. One's in Mexico. They're against division games, good offenses. The defense played well and set him up. Look, I'm not saying he played well, but like the idea that he's just washed and completely toast. Their offensive line sucks. It sucks. And Rivers was fine. And I get that he threw two picks, but he was fine for the first half when they were moving the ball down the field. They had plenty of scoring opportunities. Their play calling isn't good. They run on first down. They pull Austin Eckler off the field and try to throw to Melvin Gordon. They're hell bent on doing things backwards. It's a crappy organization. And look, if Phillip Rivers wanted to play somewhere in 2020, he would have a long list of suitors.
Absolutely. Yeah. What? I mean, I would take him over Mariota, Winston, Eli Manning. I mean, there's a lot of free agent quarterbacks that are going to be out there. I would take Phillip Rivers, probably even over Andy Dalton, so you know I'm dead serious.
Well, here's the thing, John. He has to go somewhere where, obviously, as Brinson talks about, there's an offensive line. I would not take him over Ryan Tannehill right now in Nashville.
And that is – it does absolutely – the situation matters in that case. But here is how bad the Chargers were.
Tannehill? You going to let him slide on that? It's ridiculous.
I don't think that's ridiculous. Have you watched Tannehill play? I have to watch all four quarters living in Nashville. He hasn't been that bad. He's been better than Rivers has, but he's got a better offensive line. This year.
Well, I mean, like, I'm very close to swearing a lot.
Go for it. Your man sucks.
I'm not going to make Debo bleep all that out.
Well, you know what? You know who threw a game-winning touchdown pass against the Chiefs? Ryan Tannehill. And now you have Rivers two straight games, and this, somebody needs to look this up. I don't know if it's NFL record,
two straight games where you throw a game-ending interception with under 20 seconds left.
He's probably done that before, so it's probably not a record.
It's preposterous.
Ryan Tannehill, 13 of 19 for 181 yards and two touchdowns.
Did he win that game by any chance?
What are you standing for QB wins? Is this a joke?
I'm going for QB completions and no interceptions.
You guys are clowns.
I would rather, for the record, Brenton, have Phillip Rivers over Ryan Tannehill in a heartbeat.
Says the Mitch Trubisky apologist, but sure, go ahead.
Same person to put Phillip Rivers over Ryan Tannehill for 1 year.
But let me say real quick, fourth quarter, the Chargers win in the fourth quarter trailing 24-17. Some teams don't even get four possessions in the second half. I think the Vikings only had four possessions in the second half. The Chargers got four possessions in the fourth quarter alone, needing to get this touchdown. Here's what they did. Four plays, punt, three and out, interception, interception. They moved the ball. They couldn't move the ball. It was mind-boggling. They were able to go up and down the field for three quarters, and then the same thing happens every week. I don't know if they had Ken Wisenhunt on the phone from the United States for the fourth quarter calling plays, because that's what it looked like. Everybody loses it in the Chargers sideline. Brenton, you said they're trash. It's not just Rivers. It's the whole thing falls apart.
I tweeted this before it started happening. They got down 8 points and immediately, completely, utterly abandoned the run game that had been working for them despite being down one possession. And every single play was Rivers trying to force it 20 yards downfield into heavy coverage or into a tight window. You're at altitude. You're old as balls. I mean, your receivers aren't getting separation. It's exactly what happened in the second half against the Raiders. Exactly. Now look, I'm not trying to let Phillip Rivers off the hook here. I mean, he's complicit. I mean, he's the one throwing the balls. He clearly has, authority in terms of what decisions are being made there. And he made a bunch of mistakes. He threw four picks. He wasn't very good, but the coaching staff stinks. And I don't think Anthony Lynn's a good coach. And I mean, they're the Chargers. They charge it up every week.
I can't imagine, and I'm going to offend the five Chargers fans out there that listen to this podcast, but I can't imagine rooting for the Chargers because, like, I root for bad
sports. I root for them in college.
I know this is partly intended at you. I root for a lot of bad teams. The thing is, though, they're just bad, and you know they're bad, so they have no business winning games, and you can accept that. I don't think I could ever root for a team that is this talented and year after year after year does the same old crap every single game. I mean, you talked about how you knew it was coming.
The Bears.
the Bears aren't good. They don't have a quarterback. So I know they're not good. Rivers is a Chargers. Good.
I mean, you had Jay Cutler for like half a decade or whatever. You went to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. You went to the playoffs last year and double doinked. You sure is that much better?
Than this? Yes, I'm sure. Because single year, the Chargers, Phillip Rivers should have won a Super Bowl by now. Like, he was good enough at his peak, and those Chargers teams were good enough to win a Super Bowl, but they find a way to do it every single year. And this year, I'm not saying they're Super Bowl good. They should be in the AFC West race because the Chiefs have fallen off. And
they've won this game.
They've just let it squander over and over and over again. They do it every single year. I can't imagine rooting for a team that always gets their hopes up. I mean, I tweeted in like the third quarter, like it was so predictable. Everyone knew it was going to happen. The Chargers were going to get within one score and then they were going to blow it late in the game. This happens every single week.
Yeah. Look, I bet on the Chiefs, heavily on the Chiefs. -4.5. It was a lock the whole time. Never once was I worried about it. Not at 10-9. Never once was I worried the Chiefs would not win by 4.5 points. When Phillip Rivers got the ball near the goal line, with like 6 seconds left, or like 25 seconds left, I wasn't worried. I was like, here comes the pick.
That's not what you were saying to me in Slack, which, quote, fill in your F-bomb face, Sean.
That was on all the caps. All to, that was, what did I say? Fill F in your face?
You said, fill in your effing face, Sean. And then 2 seconds later, you tweeted, here comes the interception. So I like that you play it both ways. And someone on Twitter did point out to me that I bet you Brent is going to act like he saw it coming and didn't care. He was got half of it.
I mean, look, I bet on the Chiefs. I still root for the Chargers. Like, I mean, I want the Chargers. I love the Chargers. I'm a sucker. I'm Charlie Brown with the freaking football. It's frustrating. Anyway, so that's what the Chargers charged it up, and it wasn't great. and the Chiefs won, but the Chiefs weren't even very good. Should we be, Ryan, concerned that the Raiders are going to steal this division?
No, only because the Chargers blew a hole in that plan on Monday night. The Chargers had won that game like they should have. Then the Raiders are in first place, and then we're having a whole different conversation.
Well, no, but you know, if the Raiders go and beat the Jets, then the week after that is for first place in the division between the two teams.
I feel more comfortable with the Mahomes-led Chiefs than I do. And I know I don't hate Derek Carr like Sean does, but I don't have
– just me.
And also, I don't have a lot of faith, even though Patrick Mahomes did play a terrible game by Patrick Mahomes' standards. I guess the defense showed up. I mean, we don't know because Phillip Rivers just throwing the ball to him on purpose. But I will say this. The Raiders defense did not show up against Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton 2.0, excuse me, Ryan Finley, at home. And that's more concerning for me because for as much as, Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard ran all over him, I think the Chiefs offense is slightly better than the Bengals offense against the Raiders. So the Chargers screwed up in several ways. Notably, they lost a game they should have won, but they also screwed over the Raiders by not winning that game, too.
And I think the other part to remember with the Chiefs and the Raiders down the stretch is that Mahomes has been beat up all season. Tyreek Hill left this game in the first quarter, didn't play the rest of it. Now they get to go on the bye. They finally get a chance to heal. They have not had that. And you know who cannot be beat off the bye? It is Andy Reid, and he gets to face the Raiders after the bye. Plus, they're going to be healthy. I think the Chiefs probably go unbeaten down the stretch, maybe lose one game at most. So I think the Chiefs, I don't want to say they're a lot because that one dude's going to record my statement and then send it to Brinson, and then Brinson's going to play in 3 weeks.
Off the bye.
But I feel very, very strongly about the Chiefs winning this division because they now have 2 weeks to heal, and we got Reed off the bye against the Raiders.
I'll say it's a lock. I think they're going to beat the Raiders by double digits. I mean, we're going to talk about later in this podcast underachieving and overachieving teams, and the Raiders will be my overachieving team. The Raiders aren't that good, and their record in one score games is the reason why they have this. Why they're in the playoff hunt. And
point differential is -25.
I was going to save that for my case, but we do overachieving teams since Breach called me Mr. Point Differential. Anyways. No, the Chiefs are winning the division by multiple games.
Do you know what the basic premise for deciding the outcome of football games is, John Breach?
I'm telling you what Breach called me, and I was
but point differential can be skewed if you are involved in a blowout loss.
What are you a fan of scores?
Anyways, the Chiefs are winning this division by multiple games. I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah.
I'm
a little worried that the Raiders are going to go to the Jets this week and lose straight up. I'm kind of rooting for the Raiders to. I'm rooting for the Raiders to win. So then the line is like, because it's Chiefs at Raiders, right? 2 weeks from now.
No, it's Raiders at Chiefs. Kansas City.
So that means if they go and lose to the Jets, that line's going to be like 14.
And you know what, Brinson? I actually thought, hey, Oakland's going to go the Jet. They have to fly across the country, play in the Eastern time zone. It's a good trap game. But because the Bengals game was so close, they're not going to fall into another trap. So if the Raiders had blown out the Bengals, I would have been more inclined to think the Jets might pull this upset. But there's no way they're going to fall in that trap twice, right?
You wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't think so.
The one thing I wanted to say about Mahomes, he obviously wasn't very good. The one thing I'll say, though, is that he actually, I think, looked the most healthy that he's been in months. Like, he actually ran a decent amount by his standards. And again, he wasn't good throwing the ball, but it didn't look like a guy who was coming off multiple injuries. It's almost like he's finally got that ankle healed and now that knee healed. So, and then he'll have the bias Breach mentioned. So that's the good news for the Chiefs. He actually looks healthy.
It was pretty wild to see him running around on that pitch up at Stadium Azteca. I did love how Joe Tess kept like, it's like my dad when we go on like vacation and you know, we go like the Caribbean and like, we'll be like in like, be like in the Caymans, my dad would be like, so like, he'll be like, so is this like a concha?
Like, my dad does the same thing. He starts like talking in a half accent. Like we were in like Scotland once. He started just doing like a Scottish accent when he was like talking to locals. I was like, what are you doing, dad?
Yeah. My dad, he like tries to like put a little inflection. Like Tess is like, of course you're in Stadium Azteca. It's like, you're Italian. What are you doing? Like, but like, if John were to do this whole podcast in Spanish, sure.
He'd first have to learn Spanish.
Right.
We were in the UK and we're in a taxi and my dad is trying to ask the taxi driver if there's a telephone on the street that we can use to call someone, but he kept on using the word telly because he was trying to be like cool, but telly means TV, and the taxi driver just had no idea what he was talking about, and he just insisted on repeatedly asking them if there's going to be tellies on the street.
Also, your dad listens to the podcast, I'm sure, has a Pixies podcast T-shirt. Maybe you don't need to like bust out the inflection like when you go to another English speaking country.
I'm with you. We call him out on it. Hey, he says he can't help it.
My dad can't either. He just slips into the accent. I love it. So it was at Stadium Azteca and
the Estadio Azteca or Azteca Stadium. You've said it all day. I want to help you out. Get it right.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Boomer.
Hey, what did you think how Pulisic looked on Chelsea?
He just said Pulisic. It's Pulisic. Come on, dude. Here he goes. Look, he's going to.
That's the joke, dot gif.
That's right. That's the joke. Well, actually, I was just pulling your
look. The field was terrible.
Yeah. And
I didn't think that it got enough run early on. I really thought those guys.
Not from your lack of tweeting about it, that's for sure.
It was a problem. I mean, Breach was tweeting about it. Breach was part of the propaganda machine leading up to it. He tweeted aerial shots like, oh my God, look how amazing it looks at Stadium Azteca and talk about how like incredible it was. And then to get on there and like the second a cleat touches that turf, it's just chunks of grass are flying up. It looked dangerous.
Multiple- By the way, your Spanish accent, you are 100% Kenny Powers when he's in Mexico trying to revitalize his baseball career.
It's sort of the gig I'm going with here, but I mean, like, hola, me llamo Guillermo. Oh, somebody had a request that we do, like, he's the Philip Rios, Felipe Rios would be mm-hmm. Spanish name, that we go through and do our Spanish names on the podcast. Like, Breaches is he Googled, like, breach of contract in Spanish and then, like, apply, like, Juan Ibitigo or something. It's something, I don't know. It's a stupid bit. Anyway, carry on. The field was terrible, Breach. What did you think about the field?
You know what? I didn't think that it was that big of a deal. I saw Brinson complaining about it the whole time, but if you look around the NFL, Levi Stadium has a bad field. Heinz Field, Ryan, how bad is Heinz Field? Was this worse than Heinz Field?
It was maybe slightly worse in the first half. They pulled off some magic and fixed it in the second half. It was much better.
Tampa Stadium is usually pretty bad. The Dolphin Stadium, whatever it's called now, Hard Rock Stadium is usually pretty bad. So I can name multiple stadiums that were worse than what Azteca Stadium was tonight. So I am not, obviously you would have thought after the debacle of last year that they would have wanted to leave no question in anybody's mind that Mexico City has a football field that's equipped to host the game. So in that sense, it's a little troubling that there was any issues at all. But in the big picture, I don't think this was a big deal because there are far worse stadiums in the United States that NFL teams currently play in.
One follow-up question for you, John. Does your back hurt from carrying the NFL's water?
Sorry, if Goodell's going to send me that check every week, I'm just going to keep carrying it.
By the way, I'm not sure who was. I think Breach, you were asking about how Philip Rivers was in the last couple of minutes of.
What are you talking about? Field? What are you doing? We already did Rivers. What are you doing?
Well, this stat I think is pertinent to hurting your feelings more. So,
fun fact. Say it as a fun fact, and you can do it.
Yeah, fun fact.
Ryan hadn't said a word for like 15 minutes. He's googling Philip Rivers' fourth quarter stat. Look at the glee in his face. It's like when he sends his kid to timeout. He's like, I hate doing this, of course, but I am sending you to timeout.
I don't have to send my 8-year-old to timeout. He's actually good. My 12-year-old. That's a different story. But Brad Gagnon, who we know from way back in the day, Retro Bleacher Report, just tweeted this out. Philip Rivers in the final 2 minutes of one score games this season. He's 14 for 35, which is 40%. No touchdowns, 4 picks, a passer rating of 14.5. All 7 Chargers losses, as we've said countless times, have come by one score.
Snakes, just whenever you're done, just talk about the field.
All right. I'm giving the sign for I'm done.
Do you want to talk about the field?
Breach asked me about the field. I gave my thoughts on the field. It had no impact on the outcome.
It was bad in the first half. I didn't really notice it in the second half. I mean, maybe that's because I was too busy laughing at Rivers.
That's because they poured tequila all over it.
Well, it also felt like in the second half, Andy, I think this deserves a little criticism too, right? Andy Reid Man, that guy cannot stomp on somebody's throat. Like, just put the Chargers out of their misery, bro. Go down there and score a touchdown. Get a field goal. Do something.
Maybe like the rest of us on this podcast, he was not concerned about Phillip Rivers doing anything.
I mean, Rivers beat him in last year in the last game they played, so he has to be somewhat concerned. I mean, I thought the Chiefs' offense turtled up pretty badly. It was hyper-conservative Andy Reid. I would be – if I'm a Chiefs fan, that sort of thing concerns me because that's what he would do if he had a 7-point lead against Tom Brady, and then Tom Brady wouldn't throw the pick in the end zone. Tom Brady would throw the touchdown. You know, same thing with, like, I don't know, Jacoby Brissett, Lamar Jackson, whoever else you want to throw in there. Deshaun Watson. I mean, I just think
– Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. So, I mean, like, I thought the Chiefs' offense was concerning in the second half.
Concerning?
In the second half. I mean, well, the Chiefs offense was terrible.
They had two good drives in the second half, though. They didn't really have a single good drive in the first half.
Chiefs' offense sucked in the first half, and the Chargers' defense balled out. And then in the second half, the Chiefs put together two good drives, and then completely turtled up. Like, if you got Patrick Mahomes, you're Andy Reid, flex on them. And go score. Put it out of range, man. Look, they got the win. They're cheering. It's happy. Fantastic for them.
So it's such a sad day.
They covered.
I say it every time he gets sad. It's like
Chargers 4-6 coming in. They're 4-7 now. They're dead. They've been dead. They're just as dead as your Steelers, who are trash and also dead. You just
haven't.
Dead like the Bears, almost as dead as the Bengals. It's a bunch of corpses laying around.
No, the Bengals aren't almost dead. The Bengals are the only team in this conversation that are technically dead, lifeless. Not even on life support. They are clinically passed away.
The Bengals are a zombie. They are a zombie.
And the steamroller just reversed over them.
I think Debo's been telling us to break for like 20 minutes. All right, so we're going to break. Did we miss anything from that game?
Should we talk about Phillip Rivers at the fourth quarter?
That game, how was that game a 24-17 divisional matchup on Monday Night Football on an island game, in Mexico, and it sucked. The game sucked.
It was pretty fun.
It was fine. Phillip Rivers provided the entertainment and we all enjoyed that.
And you know why it was fun? Because it started off in warmups with Harrison Butker hitting a 70-yard field goal. Look, I'm not going to sit here and ask to have an emergency podcast about warm-up field goals, but I don't care where you are. A 70-yarder is amazing. You can go to my Twitter account, at John Breach, and look at video of this amazing 70-yard field goal that made it by about 3 yards. That's kicking from the other side of the football field, from the 40-yard line. You guys aren't impressed by that?
We're literally talking about pregame field goals.
No, I'm impressed. I'm annoyed. I took the over on Chiefs field goals at 1.5. Butker only kicked one. Super annoying. But I am also annoyed that I couldn't get the over down on 46.5. It wasn't offered. I mentioned it on Sportsline. I hope you're watching that 6 o'clock p.m. to 7 p.m. every day on CBS Sports HQ. Give out great gambling advice. I said the best bet off the top. I was like, you better hit over 46.5. Longest field goal made. Bing, bing. Cashed it, Ryan. What do you think about that?
I'm very proud of you. Good job.
Well, I didn't make any money off of it, but I cashed it for people.
But you helped somebody.
That's right. You know what we need for this podcast?
Tequila.
A break.
Cash. Oh, God. Oh, two. I thought you were going to start the Pink Floyd song there.
No, actually, I hit replay one time. So that's what I did. I just paused money at the end. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back. By the way, Tyreek Hill, strained hamstring, no definitive word. Damian Williams also injured. We'll find out more about that. Any other injuries I missed?
Phillip Rivers, heart.
Breaking hearts of Chargers fans. All five of them.
Do you think Phillip Rivers is really left-handed?
I thought he was going to catch that third down ball.
I know. I was awesome. So excited. He thought about it.
He did the smart thing, the veteran thing. All right, let's take a break, and we'll do some stuff after the break or something. I don't know. Time's a flat circle.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's get to some more news or something, whatever. Life is meaningless. The Chargers suck again. I hate the Chargers. Miles Garrett's suspension appeal is set for Wednesday. Breach, do you anticipate any change for Miles Garrett in terms of what his suspension will be?
I would be absolutely shocked if this gets changed. I think that the NFL made it pretty clear they do not want you ripping your opponent's helmet off and then swinging that helmet at their head. And if they do reduce this at all, that would not send the message that I think they want to send. So I think that maybe they might say, hey, you're done for the season and you can definitely come back next year. So instead of making it indefinite, putting a finite amount on this. So say, well, how many, they have 5-6 games left. You're just, you're suspended for the rest of the 2019 season, regular season playoffs. And that, so that is your definite suspension. Cause I know there was a part of his appeal was that you have to put a number on a suspension according to the CBA. I don't know how accurate that is. I think
you have to put a specific number on.
Right. So I think they'll just say, okay, you're suspended the rest of 2019 and, we'll see you in week one next year.
Okay. Could happen. Anybody else think it'll be different? I don't think I
like that too, because like he's not a dirty player. Like he obviously did something that was way over the line, and I think the punishment should just be the end of the year. I don't think it needs to bleed in, so he has to think about it all summer and all this. Like it shouldn't impact the Browns next year. He understands the mistake. Like he's not an idiot. Like he gets it. He saw it the instant he walked off the field. He knew he made a mistake. He doesn't need to get suspended beyond this year.
Do we know he's not a dirty player though? Like I don't think he is, but the first game of the year, he was trying to slap. He did slap Delonte Walker in the face. He had the two pass interference calls in week two, and then he broke Trevor Siemian's ankle. I don't think that was dirty. I think it was just unlucky. But he has a sort of a history. I mean, he's not Ndamukong Suh, but
imagine the Steelers fan trying to get up in Miles Garrett's business. Wilson: Garrett's a dirty player. Browns are trash.
The thing is, like, you look forward to clowning Brinson about Phil Rivers, and then you get in the moment and you just start to feel sorry for him.
It's a petulant child, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's exactly right. It'll be okay, Will.
Thanks.
I'm going to treat you like Robin Williams treated Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting.
It's not
your fault.
Okay.
It's not your fault.
Matt Nagy. Speaking of.
What do you do this time? What's that guy up to?
Asked about Mitchell Trubisky's, quote, benching, because it's not technically a benching. He was just he was injured, said, quote, it had zero to do with his play. Sean, buy or sell Matt Nagy's claim that Mitchell Trubisky hurt.
I mean, it's an obvious sell. I legitimately believe that he probably has a hip that might be bothering him a little bit, but if he was playing well, they don't pull him out of the game. Like every player at this point in the season has a nagging injury, and I'm sure that's what this is. But if he's playing well, he's not getting benched. I mean, come on. Like, there's no, he doesn't need to defend this. And
Sean, Matt Nagy, though, said, there is nothing but pure honesty in all of this. So how can you call him a liar?
Literally, everything
he's
that
kind
I,
of a clown.
Conversation-wise, every decision that was made, it had zero to do with this play. It was completely based on that injury that he had last night and where he's at 100%. So I would ask you this. Why, if this injury that he claims is nagging him, the entire second half, he couldn't sit down. He was having trouble handing the ball off. And so the entire second half, he claims since the second quarter it happened. And so why did he run the option play on third and one? First of all, that play sucks in the first place. Second of all, Trubisky wasn't ready to execute it. It was basically like a...
They never run it all year. Why are you running that play?
Why are you running if he's hurt? He can't hand off. He's having trouble throwing. He can't sit down. And you're going to run an option pitch on a third and one when you're starting to actually move the ball. You're down 3 points and you can go salvage your season with a road win on Sunday night against LA. It's terrible coaching. Trash.
Also, I don't buy that timeline, too, because Trubisky had his best drive of the game in the third quarter when he threw that touchdown pass to Tariq Cohen. So I don't buy that timeline whatsoever.
Well, and then he was like, the other thing he said, too, like, he was asked by reporters, they're like, listen, man, they're honest. They're like, listen, we're not trying to call you a liar. We're not doing that. But Mitch had no idea about the injury after the game. He seemed very confused about the injury after
what
the game.
What do you think they were talking about in the huddle on the sidelines when they were hugging?
That's the other thing. It's like, if the guy's hurt, you're not doing this embrace about how, like, it's not, you're not doing the, it's not your fault, Matt Damon, in Goodwill Hunting, which is exactly what that was.
Right.
Mitch, it is your fault. This is definitely your fault.
It's all your fault, son. No one will know because you can't prove it because my microphone's off and I'm holding you closely so no one can see my lips.
Brian,
except Chase Daniel hovering over.
Chase, get out of here, Mitch.
What a weird scene.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to call Matt Nagy a liar. That feels like a weird move. But this, Breach, this feels very fishy to me.
Yeah, definitely. This is like one of those where you don't want to break someone's heart. You let them down gently. And this is your way of cutting ties without making anyone look silly, even though Mitchell Trubisky's kind of made himself look silly. I mean, Sean,
Breach, is this a situation where you get talked into getting back together even though you don't want to?
No. We've all been in that situation. Yeah, no, I don't think it is. Sean, do you even want Nagy to have – or do you even want Trubisky get his job back?
No, and that's not because I think Chase Daniel solves everything. It's just that it's they need to move past it. Like, it's not going to work. Once you bench him, and I know they're not calling it a benching, I don't think you can go back. And so
– what's the plan, though? No first-round pick. Would you want Phillip Rivers? Like, for real, in 2020?
Yeah. I would take it over Mitch Trubisky in a heartbeat. I mean, there's enough. They're going to
$22 million.
They're going to sign a Rivers trade for Cam Newton, sign Bridgewater. I mean, I'd probably like Bridgewater the most out of those guys.
That's a pretty optimistic outlook of what the Bears are going to do this offseason. How do you,
what do you think?
Is it optimistic?
How are they getting Bridgewater? Why is he leaving New Orleans?
Isn't he a free agent? Do I have that wrong?
He's just going to sign there and play until Breeze retires, I think.
Well, if he's getting a starting opportunity on a team he thinks that he could take to the playoffs, I think he would take it.
What if he looks at Chicago?
Okay. If I was just listing options, they can get a Mariota, like Tannehill.
Mariota. That's it. That's who you pick.
I would take Mariota.
All right, Jameis Winston or Jameis Winston. That's all you have.
I quit being a Bears fan.
Okay.
Whoa. I mean, no.
Andy Dalton?
Just a little hiatus. I'm just going to watch Red Zone.
What about Andy Dalton?
I would take Andy Dalton, but are the Bengals going to make the Bears give them like a fourth round pick? Because I don't want to do that. We have no picks.
No, the Bengals lost all their leverage when they didn't trade him before the trade deadline. The Bengals will botch this. They'll probably end up cutting him, getting nothing in return. And that would be classic Bengals. So you can have Andy Dalton when they cut him and you sign him in free agency.
I do want one of Dalton, Rivers, or Cam. So either Brinson or Breach has to kind of like be happy for the Bears and like kind of root for their quarterback. Cause that will bring pain to them.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. I want Dalton to team up with Marvin Lewis, who gets hired by the Bears, and then they win a playoff game for Chicago.
Ew.
That ain't happening either.
It's like the, whoa, dream big. Like, what a fantasy.
Sean mentioned Carolina. Ron Rivera says he's not going to make a change from Kyle Allen
to Will Grier? Should he, Ryan? And if he did, what might we expect from Will Grier, you know, with your excellent scouting report or whatever you do?
Well, we talked about it yesterday, if you recall. They're 5-5, and we said, look, if they're 5-8, that's fine. But I'm sure Ron Rivera feels like he can win games with Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen's done a mostly good job this season. He's had a rough patch the last few weeks. So you keep rolling with Kyle Allen until it's clear that you're pretty much done. And at 5-8, for example, if that's what you happen to be at, and you want to see what you got in Will Grier because you have three games left, you have a lot of decisions to make in the offseason about the quarterback position. I mean, Prisco seems to think, according to the folks he's talked to, that Cam's coming back and Cam's going to play. We'll see if that happens. That might be the best option. But Will Grier, prolific season last year at West Virginia, but it's a wide-open offense in the Big 12 where they don't play defense. And also didn't have a great Senior Bowl and short, didn't have a great arm, right? Didn't make a lot of great decisions. And he's – I'm just telling
what
you.
What is he good at?
I think he was a comp pick. He's a late third-round pick, and that seemed about right. Fourth-round pick. I like Ryan Finley better than Will Grier, but you play him and see what happens. I mean, Gardner Minshew was a sixth-round pick. And if he plays well for three games, you're basically the same spot you were after Kyle Allen played well for a month and a half. So you have options. I guess you can trade one of those guys in the offseason to Chicago or something. But if Cam's coming back, Cam's coming back.
All right. Elsewhere, Matthew Stafford is technically week to week, but expected to be out to miss up to 6 weeks. Shut him down. Lions, grow the bleep up and shut him down. What do you do? You go bring him back in this lost season? Let him break his back again? Shut him down.
Move. Remember a month ago that I started liking Matt Patricia?
Yeah.
That's over.
You're a front runner. Marlon Mack undergoes – it's okay to be a front runner. Marlon Mack undergoes surgery on his right hand, expected to be out. He's already ruled out this week, Thursday. When we did our early lines thing on YouTube, I failed to mention Colts-Texans this Thursday night. Exciting game. Division maybe on the line. He will be out this week, perhaps longer. That will heavily impact fantasy decisions. Juju Smith-Schuster, not just a concussion. Turns out it's also a knee injury that could cost him this week. Ryan, should they shut down Juju for the year?
I don't know. I don't think it's a serious knee injury. The concussion concerns me more. I think he had one last year, so this is two now. Deontay Johnson isn't playing either, I don't think, with his concussion. So they signed a bunch of random dudes to play wide receiver. What do you know what the current line is on that game? Because it's,
I bet the Bengals +7.
It's +7 still? Yeah. But that's gonna move, I feel like.
It may have moved. I'll tell you what it is in just a second.
The over under. I'm predicting the over under at 18 points.
Yeah, that might be true. I don't think it's gonna move just because look, the Bengals had Andy Dalton last time. They lost 27-3. They could not move the ball on the Steelers' defense. You could literally give the Bengals on the 1 yard line, give them four quarters and as many downs as they need to try and get to the end zone, and I don't think they would be able to do it if it was just the Bengals' offense versus the Steelers' defense. 99 yards, four quarters. I don't care how many Steelers' offensive players are injured. I don't say the Bengals are going to score.
Yeah, but we have Phillip Rivers' East Coast version as quarterback, so you're going to get some opportunities on defense to score some points.
Well, one, it's already moved. It's 6.5. So you're wrong.
Down.
And I'm not going to sit here for the rest of the season and listen to this passive-aggressive, pro-anti-Andy Dalton, anti-Ryan Finley. You're like a kid who got a little brother, and you're pissed off, and you're taking it out on other people. Don't take it out on me. I'll take your Ryan Finley hate out of me. I'm sorry you don't like
what? Ryan. I didn't say I hated Ryan Finley. I said he's not going to be able to move the ball. He couldn't move the ball against the Raiders. The Raiders have the worst secondary in the NFL. Everyone can move the ball on the Raiders. Finley completed like 10 passes for 115 yards. They can't get much worse, and he's going to go up against the Steelers. He's going to throw for 9 yards and 18 interceptions. It's not like it's not hate. It's just a fact.
I'm sorry, John. Mommy and Daddy wanted another child, and now you have to go with it, okay?
The Bengals might win that game with Andy Dalton, that quarterback, though.
That's true.
By the way,
we
didn't talk about this game in our look-ahead lines. I'm going to go tell you right now, if you have the opportunity, bet the under.
What is it?
39.5. They are not scoring 40 points in that game.
Unless it's – if they score 30 points, 28 will come via the defenses.
Take the under. It's 39.5. It's -125. They're scared to move it down to like 36, but take the under. There's also a terrifyingly low over-under in Buffalo-Denver, 37. I don't know how you take the over in that either.
How many points did they score against the Dolphins? They scored 33, I think.
Yeah, Denver's a much better defense than the Dolphins.
No, I agree. I was just Sean's guy, Josh Allen, got red hot in that game.
He sure did. By the way, I'm kind of sort of like the Texans a little bit on Thursday night.
Why?
I said on the YouTube show.
All these Colts injuries.
Oh, right. By the way, did you see Paris Campbell's hand? I put it in Slack.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Might like the over in this game too. 45. A lot of points. Can we talk about that on the YouTube show? Maybe. Sometimes you talk about so much stuff, you forget what you talk about.
True that.
Yes, Sean.
His hand looks like a football.
It does look like a football.
I don't think Paris Campbell's playing either in that game.
Okay. Very quickly. We need to go to our CBS News correspondent, John Breach, to tell us everything that we need to know about Colin Kaepernick. John, for those who don't know, was on CBSN on Tuesday?
Monday.
Whatever. Tuesday today. I don't know, man. Whatever. Breach appeared on CBSN, was with a very serious anchor lady who asked him questions about Colin Kaepernick, and you made fart jokes. Why'd you do that?
Well, I heard that those were going to trend on Twitter during the game, and I wanted to get ahead of the curve. Kind of smart, huh?
That was actually you on Fartgate, wasn't it?
We don't need to talk about that anymore. It's a secret. But no, I was on with Tanya Rivera. We talked about Kaepernick. And I think the basic point of all this is that I think the main thing I said was that this is basically one giant Rorschach test, where if you already hated Kaepernick, then what you saw was, hey, he blew off the NFL. He doesn't deserve a job. If you like Kaepernick, then you probably said, oh, the NFL is trying to screw him over. He should be hesitant to sign any waiver, because why would you trust an organization that's basically blackballed you for 3 years? And that is just the impasse we're at. I think if anything, he hurt himself trying to get a team to sign him, because look, you just bring this media circus and that's what teams are going to see. They're going to be like, well, we don't want to deal with that, so we're not going to sign him. But I do think him doing this workout, there's a lot of teams that will need quarterbacks this offseason. So I don't think it would be a surprise if maybe like in March he gets a call, but I don't think he's getting one at any point in the 2019 season unless Bill Belichick gets desperate and wants him in, wants him in New England to be Lamar Jackson on the scout team so they can beat the Ravens.
Are we all giggling about it?
I wasn't sure.
Good one, Breach. No wonder you killed him. I don't know. What are you guys even laughing?
Should I say?
Yeah, sure.
Brent, I wasn't sure if you were awake.
Oh, no, I wasn't asleep. I was just looking at something. I was staring off at the Philip Rivers thing. Do you guys think I was asleep?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
You pulled like that 75-year-old man. You fell asleep in a split second and then just looked down. It looked like you were in bed. And you weren't going to wake up, and Wilson was after that was the show.
I'm not even sleeping. I'm too worked up to be sleepy. No, I wasn't asleep. I just didn't want to hear. I was thinking about a Kaepernick conversation I had earlier in the day, and how I got a fight at a radio station. It was all.
What was the fight?
It was a debate about Kaepernick, and I was wondering whether I should ask you guys what you think about Kaepernick, and whether we should dive into it further, or whether we should just move on.
What radio station?
999 here. Me and Joe Ovius were. He doesn't listen to the podcast.
What was your side?
I said that I don't know if Kaepernick wants to play football.
Yeah, why do people keep saying that?
I feel like you feel like that's what?
That's pretty spicy.
Oh yeah. Why do people keep saying that?
I just feel like I'm having trouble buying the idea that the NFL was like, here's how we're gonna trick Kaepernick into signing this waiver. Let's bring him to this I see Mike Florio espouse that theory. Like, that's insane.
Sure. You see what Florio said about the, and some constitutional.
Florio had a copy of both waivers. It wasn't like he was floating a theory. He was saying, here's the differences between the two waivers, and they were clearly different. It's not like the NFL is trying to trick him, but it was enough that you would, if you're Kaepernick's lawyer and it precludes the NFL from being sued against in the future, hell no, you're not going to sign that.
Right. But do you think that the NFL engineered this entire thing and trumped up a bunch of publicity and dragged Colin Kaepernick down to Atlanta?
No.
With the intent of getting him to sign a document that would eliminate any future legal, like,
but that has nothing to do with Kaepernick not wanting to play football.
I think he likes other stuff than football now.
Why has he been training for 3 years?
Yeah, why would he fly to Atlanta and go to a high school field and work out?
So, trains? He doesn't do anything.
Kaepernick doesn't train?
He doesn't fly to Atlanta to do it.
What's that?
He doesn't fly to Atlanta to do it. He walks down the street to the gym.
Well, I think he likes the platform. I think he wants the...
He'd have much more of a platform if he just gave a press conference and said the things he wanted to say.
No one tracks his workouts. It was like 3 times that we've seen like workouts appear. But according to most reporters, he does work out and keep in shape and he's ready to play.
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't want to play football. I heard that. That doesn't make sense to me. But the other thing, sure, I mean, you could argue about whether he should... A team should sign him for whatever reason. But the whole... I don't know if he wants to play. I just don't know where that comes from.
I think he's more passionate about stuff outside of football. I think he's 32. I think he's probably.
Well, according to JLC, he's been saying for 3 years he's looking for his next chance to play in the NFL.
Well, if a team would give him a chance, then maybe we could find out. But teams are refusing to do it. I think that a team like – I think the Buccaneers would be interesting. Bruce Arians ripped Carson Palmer out of the bottom barrel of his career and turned him into something. And maybe you call him and say, hey, Colin, come to Tampa. Let's see if you work in my system. If you don't, at least we tried it out and you can go sign with another team. But I think there are a couple teams that it would definitely worth to kick the tires and give him a call.
He's not signing anywhere. I hope you know that.
He does, but his point is that given how terrible the quarterback play is, and we just saw a truly terrible quarterback play on Monday Night Football, why not kick the tires on someone who's not terrible?
Necessary, but thank you.
And we also talked about a little bit last night, about Lamar Jackson and Greg Roman and how look how successful that combo has been. And so somebody with Kaepernick's capabilities might be more appreciated now with Lamar Jackson's success. And you look at what Colin Kaepernick did while Greg Roman was his offensive coordinator. Kaepernick went 25-14 with Greg Roman. He went 2-16 with a combination of Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula.
Oh, boy.
At one point, the most winningest coach in 49ers history.
I mean, do you remember when Ron Jaworski, it's like 2012 or whatever, was it 2011 or 2012, and Ron Jaworski was like, he said Colin Kaepernick is the best quarterback in football. What was the line? It was something
like that.
It was something crazy, but it ended up becoming – this like it was like all anybody talked about with like on ESPN for like twelve straight hours. It was insane.
His exact quote was,
I was gonna see if I can find the video, but go ahead.
Okay. I truly believe Colin Kaepernick could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
I truly believe Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, I think I got it.
I think you got it too.
Yeah.
You guys, same here.
I don't have a butt press, so I can't hear it. You guys are such a-holes.
I truly believe Colin Kaepernick could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I love his skill set. We heard Shelley talking about the arm strength. He throws with accuracy. And in today's NFL, you have to have mobility. He's got all those attributes. And here's what I love. He gets coached hard. Colin Kaepernick could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I love his skill set. I think the sky's the limit.
This is SportsCenter Live.
Strong words from Josh.
Right, I don't know.
I mean, he's obviously, obviously wrong about greatest quarterback, you know, that conversation. But the thing that he mentions in his skill set is all true. And to breach his point, I think that that skill set is appreciated now more so ever than in the NFL. And that's why I feel like
news yesterday for.
That's why I feel like
doing that on purpose.
Not the. What was I going to say? I don't remember. Whatever.
Well, add to Sean, I think if we see Lamar Jackson lead the Ravens to the AFC title game or even the Super Bowl, I think that will make people more likely to give Kaepernick a call.
What I was going to say is I don't want to try to jump into Brinson's brain or God, I can't talk. I don't want to jump into Cap's brain like Brinson was trying to do, saying Cap doesn't want to play football. But if I were to do so, I imagine as Colin Kaepernick, you would feel really, you would feel like as if your reputation as a football player has been tarnished because you had a couple bad seasons with on terrible teams, with coaches who have not been successful since he's worked with them, and Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula, obviously, and that he feels like he wasted the prime of his career and he still has something to prove as a football player. Because if he comes back and he plays well, That completely changes, I think, his reputation in the eyes of a lot of people who are saying that this whole thing is a gimmick and he's not good enough to play and he's just drumming up interest in all this.
Okay. Maybe he wants to play. Who knows?
So defeated.
I mean, I, frankly, I'm just tired. I mean, like,
I don't think he's going to get signed. I agree with you.
He came out and, said, he told the NFL, he told Roger Goodell and every NFL owner to quit running scared. He's not getting a job. He's not getting signed. I mean, it's just, he's not getting a job. And it is what John said about the Rorschach testing is annoying too, because like, you have, and none of us are doing this. Like, I don't know if he wants to, I can't get in his head. I don't know if he wants to play or not, but like, you have everyone out there who's been like lying in wait with their agenda, either on one side or the other. And it's like, up. I mean, just anybody who's an opinion on Kaepernick, we didn't spend any time on Kaepernick on this podcast until Tuesday.
I think he's good enough to start in the NFL. Like, I'm not saying he's going to come and be Lamar Jackson or whatever, but to Ryan's point, like, I, during this game, was working on my quarterback power rankings. It's like, I have to rank some really bad quarterbacks above 20. Like, Jared Goff might be back inside the top 20. There are some bad quarterbacks in the NFL right now. When Kaepernick was playing, he was, at a lot of points, a top 10 quarterback. And at the end of his career, even when he wasn't that good, I would still say he was a top 20 quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so,
well, the Rivers performance really sucked. Also, a lot of.
I mean, just over it. Fell asleep. Over it.
You know who we didn't give credit to in that game? Frank Clark.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Frank.
Biggest. We're going to talk overachievers, underachievers. I'll go first and list both of mine so you guys don't have any options left. Sean, you can go first. Because you've been the nicest. Just kidding. You can go first. Last. Reach. Go ahead.
Well, I say if we're talking about biggest overachiever on the podcast, it's me. I show up every day. I'm a grinder. I bring fun facts to the table. And I make you guys smile usually. And I don't tell you when there's spiders running around my office. Oh, my God. The guy's back. Okay.
What you were doing.
That's the situation. Is that why you got up at one point with your laptop?
Twice.
It's huge. And I went to trap it. And I've never seen a spider move this fast. I think it's from Australia. Oh, my God. It's staring
at me. Can you take a picture?
if it doesn't run away. Okay. So let me try and get my over.
Oh, the spider killed him. He's froze.
it paralyzed him.
That's the last known live shot of John.
You know you're overachiever, then I'll wait for Breach to show back up.
I think he's still talking, though.
Okay, this doesn't feel like an overachiever, but I think it is. Let me know when Breach comes back online.
Tired.
Oh, there he is.
That's what I'm saying. He's just going to cut in.
Is he doing this on purpose?
I got to screenshot this
one. I was expecting to see him wrestling the spider. Okay, you okay?
He's so frozen.
Maybe he's doing like the... Is he doing the meme that the kids used to do where you freeze at the party?
Again, yeah.
And I did it again. All right, I'm going to keep talking.
I think he's still talking, though.
So
my
overachiever, Baltimore Ravens. I mean, it sounds silly now, 10 weeks in, but when we started the season, no one had any idea how good Lamar Jackson was going to be. We were moved from the Joe Flacco era. Joe Flacco, who Brinson predicted was going to win a Super Bowl in Denver. And John keeps flickering, so that's why I get distracted. But I feel like the Ravens, who had him at 8-2 2 months ago?
Well, but I'm not sure that you understand the concept of overachiever. Like, they're just achieving. They're not.
There he is. John's internet went out. I mean, we didn't know that the quarterback situation wasn't settled. The defense wasn't expected to be very good. They had no pass rushers. Obviously, the secondary was good, and they just traded for Marcus Peters a few weeks ago. Go ahead, Sean.
I think exceeding expectations.
Yeah, so I'm with Brent on this. Like, when I think overachievers, I was going to say, like, the Raiders, because I don't think they should have their record. Like, I think the Ravens have earned their record. I think it's just different definitions of what...
I'm starting at week one. When are you guys starting? Like, now? You're starting at, like, week one based on their body of work till now?
Yeah, the season.
All right. I mean, the Raiders, I understand, but.
You know what? You know what? Let's applaud Ryan for thinking outside the box and not just going with the Raiders like everybody else was probably going
to. I mean, the Raiders have a negative, what, 20, whatever point differential. They're 6-1 in one score games. They've won six games this entire season. This feels like a team that, I mean, credit to them because they've already overachieved, and they deserve credit for that. And their rookie class looks really good. But this feels like a team that if they don't regress this year in the second half of the season, they're going to maybe regress next year because they're not going to go 6-1 in one score games.
Sorry, Sean. Who's your team, Brits, before I ask two more questions?
You know what? I want to say that my team is the Seattle Seahawks.
See, now that's a team that I feel like in a similar situation with the Ravens because they have one player on offense, basically. Well,
the Seahawks have the Raiders have a negative 25 point differential. The Seahawks have a plus 21 point differential. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Ravens have a plus 145 point differential. Like they beat up on the Patriots and they smash the Texans. They're
great.
Yeah. I mean, like we don't have to get in the semantics of it. I understand where you're going with that, Ryan. And, nobody thought that they would be 8-2 and to me, the best team in football on a 6-game winning streak. So that they are achieving a lot.
What about these two teams? Okay. And I'll rank them in order of what's the word? Overachieving. Yeah. San Francisco and Minnesota.
Yeah, I was going to say San Francisco, but then I audible to Seattle because I was worried you guys would dunk on me for.
Why?
I was going to say my second team, if someone took the Raiders, was going to be the Colts. Kind of a very similar team that, I mean, I say it all every time. In one score games all the time, yet they're in a position to win the division because a lot of those one score games have gone their way. I think their point differential now is like what, plus 20 something because they won a game by 20 points. So, they seem like a little bit overachieving as well.
They have no business being 6-4.
If they had a field goal kicker, they'd be 8-2, you know?
Right. Yeah, but I mean, this is sort of the overachiever thing. It's like they're punching above their weight class. Like they should really be 4-6.
They're playing better than their actual talent level, which I don't think you could say with the Ravens. I think the Ravens just are this good and this talented. The Raiders are performing above their talent level.
In Ryan's defense, he may be stuck in some kind of delusional situation where as a Steelers fan, he doesn't want to accept that the Ravens are going to be the best team in football for the next 5 to 10 years. Breach reports that my internet went out and it was because of the spider. So we've lost John Breach. We'll continue on without him. Debo has a great
chance. Unless he's dead.
What about the Dolphins? The Dolphins are overachieving.
Yeah,
great suggestion, Debo. I would also throw out that the Bengals are overachieving. That team should really be like 0-12 through 10 weeks.
John's not here and you punch him in the face.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins are the Dolphins at negative 166 point differential, absolute qualify. The Bills. I'd throw the Bills in there.
Yeah, that's right. I would actually, if we're going that route, the Jets have overachieved the last few weeks because they look like dog doo doo the first 7 weeks of the season. But yeah,
I think that probably qualifies. And then for underachievers. So our choices for overachievers are Raiders, Ravens, and Seahawks. We also like the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Colts as options. San Fran too. Yeah. Although San Fran again, plus 140 point differential. That defense is legit.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I think they're playing at their talent level, especially because
they're playing
they played a lot of bad teams, but they've beat up on bad teams.
Well, part of my evaluation is, do we expect this team to be anywhere close to 9-1 at the beginning of the season? And the answer obviously is no for them.
Well, didn't talk this through before the podcast is the problem.
All right, let's go to unders.
Underachievers. This is an easy one. I'll just take the Chargers and move on from there. There's no need for additional commentary. The Chargers perennially underachieve. Sean, I'll throw it to you to the next most obvious underachieving team.
You want me to say the Bears, but everyone, I thought, a lot of people thought the Bears, this actually might happen to them, and so I'll save it for Ryan. The Rams, I think. And I know the Rams aren't dead. They're 6-4 now, but I don't think any of us think they're going to make the playoffs, and this is a team that was supposed to probably right now be leading the NFC West or fighting the Seahawks in the NFC West, but we didn't think the 49ers were going to be any good. And the big concern, obviously, is this offense is so bad. I don't know if you guys saw, the Rams are playing in primetime next week against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And when they advertise that game, they have to advertise it with Lamar versus Aaron Donald. Like, they can't, you know what I mean? The Rams offense is so bad. They have Gurley, Cooper Kupp, Jared Goff, and they can't use any of those guys as promo. They have to use a defensive lineman. Look, Aaron Donald might be the best player in football regardless of position, but he's not the guy that, you know, draws eyeballs because he's playing on the interior of the defensive line. So I put it at the Rams. I mean, their offense right now, I said it on yesterday's podcast, their quarterback situation is worse than the Bears because they...
I'm going to have to stop you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
John Breach is back.
No. Guys, the spider didn't kill me. It didn't kill me. It tried to. It cut my internet out. This is warfare over here. Absolute warfare. What I missed.
We're doing over-unders.
Ryan blitzed the Bengals for like 3 minutes. Just annihilated. Dunked on them, teabagged them, lit them on fire, blowtorched them.
Classic Ryan.
What's your overachieving team, John?
Well, who did you guys name so I don't have any repeats here? And
you already went through the whole league, so just pick one.
Yeah.
The Bengals should be 0-12.
No, I was going to be the Colts for overachiever.
Good. It's a good choice.
I think that, sure, they're 6-4, but I think everybody thought they're going to be worse because of Andrew Luck's retirement. I don't know how their head is above water, and they'll be the AFC South front runner if they win on Thursday, which is definitely possible because they've won 4 or 5 against the Texans.
That was we each named a team. Sean, let's get your thought. You can clear this up. Sean said the Raiders. I said the Seahawks. Wilson said the Ravens.
Anyway, you see the Ravens as overachieving?
I would not. I feel like the Ravens were expected to finish in first or second. Just,
we killed him for it. Go ahead and kill him too.
Yeah, you were actually nicer than I thought you'd be.
Out of those, yeah, that's probably the least overachieving. But they're still overachieving because nobody thought they would be this good, so I'll give Wilson that.
They have achieved more than expected, yes, that's correct. I took the Chargers as an underachiever. Sean, like a wuss, took Rams, hanging Ryan out to dry.
I'm not taking his team. I have two other prospects, but John can go ahead if he wants.
Okay. Well, I can't believe Sean didn't take the Bears. That's your team, Sean.
Yeah, I just felt like it was too obvious. A lot of people thought the Bears would regress.
I would take the Bengals, except that Brinson and Sean both thought they were going to be the worst team in the NFL this year. So they couldn't underachieve because they are the worst team in the NFL. They're equally achieving what their achievement was supposed to be. I'll go with...
Why didn't we bet on the Bengals have the number one overall pick, by the way? We liked that bet. We're like, this is a great bet. It's like 9 or 10.
We spent half a podcast talking about it in August.
We did?
I tried to talk you guys out of it.
I don't know if you might have been on one of your 5 vacations.
It might have been like 16-1 or something big, and we just didn't take it.
We were doing like division odds. We were running through it. We would do a division a day at the end of the podcast, and Breach was making this case for the ceiling 10 wins, and Brent and I were like, you know what there's a better chance of? They finish and get the first overall pick.
Yeah, and Breach was like, that's crazy. There's no way the Bengals will have the first overall pick, and they're going to have it by like 3 games. They're going to the first overall pick in like
it'll be close
in Thanksgiving.
Redskins aren't great, by the way.
Redskins are bad too. They're underachieving. Anyway, Breach, who's underachieving?
My underachieving team is the Falcons, who apparently from day one should have had somebody calling first and second down plays and somebody else calling third down plays on defense, and who should have moved their secondaries coach, gotten rid of him, and moved their wide receivers coach to the second tier. They should have all done this in August, and then they would have been good because the Falcons are playing right now how we thought they were going to play at the beginning of the season. I know where this magic formula came from, but also maybe the Chargers should take a note from the Falcons, maybe have like an offensive guy call first and second down plays and flip it to someone else for third down calls, because whatever, it seems to be working for Atlanta, and as good as they are, and they've won 2 games in a row, they have absolutely underachieved.
I was going to have the Falcons as one of my teams. Since John took it, I will take the other team, not call the Chicago Bears, Cleveland Browns. I think they qualify as an underachiever. Did I get that one right?
That's good.
Great. That's a great
good
pick.
Job.
Because, listen, the Bears don't have a quarterback. We know that.
Ryan, you know what? That was the best pick.
Yeah.
The Falcons have a quarterback. The Browns have a quarterback. It wasn't all Baker Mayfield's fault. It's mostly Freddie Kitchen's fault, but they shouldn't be a 4-6 team.
Debo had a couple of suggestions, as he does. Philly. Come on, Debo, settle down. Dallas. I would actually buy Dallas. Dak Prescott is playing at an MVP level.
Wait, how are they underachieving?
Yeah, are they underachieving or overachieving?
They're underachieving. That team should be better.
Well, that's the same rationale for the Ravens being overachievers.
If you swap Sean McVay and Jason Garrett, what would the Cowboys' record be?
I'm not crazy on Sean McVay this year.
I was going to say, are we sure about Sean McVay anymore?
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton and, or Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, they'd be at least 8-2.
You could run Sean McVay's scheme.
The only person you can replace Jason Garrett with and be worse is Freddie Kitchens.
Zach Taylor.
No. I feel like the Bengals haven't given up on Zach Taylor.
Bill Callahan?
He doesn't count.
Where's the Bengals haven't given up on Zach Taylor? He's still like...
They haven't won a game.
Yeah, he's still like on their...
What evidence do you have?
Yeah, Zach Taylor's like still on their cell phone plan. Like, he's too young to like give up on him. Like, he's still like... He's like, hey, Dad, can I have 30 bucks to go to the store? And Mike Brown's like, God, this guy. I hired this kid.
Breach is just ignoring you.
The Jets are underachievers, I think.
Yeah, of course.
I just
tried to say they're overachievers.
The Broncos would probably qualify, although maybe the Broncos are just bad.
Exactly what we thought they were.
Not Brinson.
It's fine. The Bears definitely qualify. They suck. You mentioned them yet? Buccaneers, 3-7. Buccaneers.
Nah, that's the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's Jameis. That's the Jameis Winston quarterback team.
Panthers could have been an overachiever.
Man, except for the last 2 weeks.
If they beat the Falcons, they'd be an overachiever.
Well, they got a 50 burger hung on them by
Cardinals be an overachiever.
I mean, they've already matched last season's win total.
Yeah,
but that was like 3 weeks ago.
But here's the thing:
Chiefs an underachiever.
Yeah, Mahomes got hurt.
Let's see what they are at the end of the season. I still feel like they're getting to 10-11 wins.
Jaguars underachiever? Or is this just who we thought they would?
No, that's exactly.
Are they overachieved with Minshew? I feel like
that's true. Ooh, that's good. When Foles went down, we thought they could be in contention for like a really high pick.
Yeah. There you have it. Redskins are underachieving too.
One team not mentioned because they're great: the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't know what they are.
They're just like an injured mess with a quarterback who's terrible.
Oh, they're -2 point differential. They're so close to being perfectly mediocre.
Yeah, that's actually, like I said, if they win 8 games this year, that's a victory.
Yeah, for sure. 9 games and Mike Tomlin's getting a statue.
So you're off the playoff run? The playoff run is over?
Oh, I was off that when they beat
Brinson.
Oh, okay.
No, not yet. I'm off the playoff push. I moved to playoff push. We're off playoff run, playoff push now.
It's like storm watches.
Quote, in the hunt. You know, when they show those graphics, they're in the hunt. The Bears are in the hunt.
They have 5 very winnable games in the next 5 weeks.
The problem with these teams is they're all losable games too, and then they go 2-3 or 3-2.
I mean,
and that's why you're
Bengals, Browns, Cardinals, Bills, Jets. They could win all 5 of those games.
Yeah, they could also lose all 5 of those games. Yeah. Ooh.
They currently have 1 wide receiver.
So they're going to go 2-3 or something.
I'm just saying,
one wide receiver, no running backs, and Mason Rudolph is their quarterback.
But I mean, like, if they managed to go on a 5-game winning streak, that would not be insane.
Yeah, it would.
That would be pretty insane.
Wait.
Crazy.
Before we go, Breach, did you kill the spider? Spider is not dead. It's still roaming around. I told this thing, have you ever seen, like, The Flash, that, you know, that character? This spider moves like The Flash. I am 100% convinced this is some sort of Australian spider. I've never seen a spider move this fast. Every time I get within a foot of it, it bolts faster than I can think. He's tried to kill it twice. It has escaped twice.
Breach is definitely on drugs right now.
It is laying eggs somewhere in my house right now.
Why would it be an Australian spider?
Breach is on a large amount of meth right now.
I was going to say coke.
Taking his clothes off.
Breach. No more.
Yeah, we're out of here. We're done. We go from Philip Rivers and now
to nudity.
Sick of the podcast, and we got to see Breach.
Breach's bare chest.
See you guys tomorrow, Brady Quinn Football Show. It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.